Hello. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right tonight? I'm doing better tonight than I was last night. Isn't that good? We're liable to get something going here. Who knows? Went out in the woods today with Pastor and these other guys, and we went out and sat on some stumps and rocks and just talked to Jesus. It's pretty nice. Devil was out there, but so was Jesus. Yeah. I want to do something here. I want to tell you pastors and leaders. I mean, I'm not crazy, you know. I'm not against offerings. All right? I want to explain to y'all that I'm not a charlatan. I'm not a wolf in sheep's clothing. I didn't come from the United States to rip you off. I do believe it's God to give and you'll be given back. I believe I teach my Indians that and all of that. And I am blessed because I'm not a millionaire and I can't just travel around all over the world, you know, preaching. I wish I could. But it's not my responsibility to worry about that. It's my responsibility to worry about the Holy Ghost and what's right to talk about. Do you hear me? So I wanted to clear all that up with everybody. That I'm not some hard head about this. I gladly would take Australian dollars and go and preach the gospel in Mexico. But that's not what that's not my goal in life is to come get offerings, is to come help as much as I can. Are you understanding this at all? I just want to explain that to everybody. Okay. Now that's clear. Let's get down to business here. Wait a minute. Yeah. What did I do with it? I got a prayer request here. Oh, I see. It's a lady named, I can't say this in English, Nicola. How would y'all say that? N-I-C-O-L-A? Nicola? And she's critically ill in Brisbane Hospital. She has a brain abscess. And we need for her to be completely healed. All right? So this one didn't get in with the others we prayed for. So if y'all don't mind, let's pray for that. Ask Jesus. Y'all just come ahead and stand up, please. And we'll go ahead and pray for this. And there's a couple other things, too. Okay, what does he have wrong with him? Okay. There's also, I got a picture here of a guy that was in a motorcycle accident. His back was broke half in two. His name is Russell. And the name of this place is G-Y-E-M-P-I-E. Well, see, I didn't want to call it. That's what it looked like, but I... No, he's from Gympie. So let's pray for these two. And let's ask God to heal them in Jesus' name, okay? Father, we thank you the devil's a liar and Jesus Christ is King and Lord. Hallelujah. We speak to this brain abscess in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you, brain abscess, by the blood of Jesus. And we thank God for the Holy Ghost. We speak to this broken back in Jesus' name. And we ask God to heal it. Weld it back together. Do whatever He has to fix it. In the name of Jesus, we bind depression, we bind the oppressive demons of hell, and we ask God by the blood of Jesus to bring it to pass. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. All right, don't sit down, please. Thank you. I want to ask something of you. I'm coming after a devil. I want you to know up front, I defy him. I curse him. And I'm not afraid of him. One of his names is division. One of his names is critical spirit. One of his names is rebellion. One of his names is demonic ambition. That's the name of the devil I want to bind up tonight in this place. Because there's no need for the body of Christ to keep splitting and splitting and splitting and destroying itself from within. It's time to understand that we've got to become men and women of God Almighty. We've got to stand against the devil. You may not like the way I look, but you're going to have to look at my face the rest of eternity, so you might as well learn to put up with it. So I want you to know I bind the devil with very much boldness. I stand flat-footed in his face, and I draw the sword of the living God. I know how to use it. And I lop his head off in Jesus' name. I just simply ask you to listen to what I got to say here and let Jesus talk to you. I'd much rather be disciplined by God than feel the power of his total rebuke for rebellion. Did you hear me? I absolutely believe this is from God to do this. Pastor and I haven't had any heavyweight talk, so don't get no, I don't know anything about you. I know about Jesus. And I asked him if it was all right if I just walked up to the devil, slapped him right in the face, and took his head off. He said, that's fine with me, he said. But we didn't talk about what I was going to do. What we're going to do tonight, there were several songs about the blood of Jesus. I have right here about 10 or 15 verses about the blood of Jesus. We're not going to do all of them because the time won't permit it. But I really want to talk about the power that's in the blood of Jesus a little bit. What the reasons for it and stuff like that, and mix it up with some more miracles and to get everybody excited again so that the power of God can flow. But I want you to understand the purpose of the blood is forgiveness. The purpose of the blood is justification, redemption. I'm telling you, sanctification, honor of God, make covenant with God Almighty. That's the purposes of the blood of Jesus. That's why he came here and died. All right? It's not for any personal vendetta you have against society. It's not for any personal hidden agendas that you may or may not have. It's for God's glory. It's for God's glory. Okay? It's for God's glory. So let's just lift our hands and voices up to Jesus. And let's bind the devil that I just told you about, please. In the name of Jesus. Devil, we call you out. Division, strife, demonic ambition, the Lord rebuke you by the Holy Ghost. We curse you. We call you defeated and destroyed. We speak to God and we ask Him to loose His glorious power. Cleanse the airways. Let the Holy Ghost flow. We thank God for the glory of the cross. In Jesus' name. Religious spirit, the Lord rebuke you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, sweep this place, Holy Ghost. We invite you. We unify. We unify, Holy Ghost, in spirit and in truth. And we worship you. And thank you for the blood of Jesus. And we ask you to sweep this place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Y'all please be seated and get your books. I had something to eat today. I haven't been eating much since I've been here. You can ask these pastors. They ain't never. He's the first one I think that really took me out to a full course meal like we had today. I ate some bugs today. Man, I've never eaten anything like it. Them bugs was good. What kind of bugs are them? Wharton Bay bug? Morton Bay. Morton Bay bugs. Golly, them things are good. Man, y'all got it made over here with them bugs around. Jeez. Them bugs are good. And then I ate some oysters. Kilpatrick oysters. Golly, boy. Them things are good. Man, that was good. I had fun. That was pretty nice. That was great. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I absolutely feel joyful tonight. I was trying to explain to them the other night after service Sunday night. We went back in there and I was talking to leaders of the church and I was trying to explain to them. I'm telling you, it's coming on me, boy. I feel it. Golly. That's right. That just means the devil's here. That's good. Because that's when I feel, yeah, God's here, but the devil's here. The demon from hell is here. He's the main one that goes to church. But when the devil comes, joy floods me somehow or another. And I get totally excited when the devil shows up. Isn't that something? I'm glad. I'm really glad. See, I went to service one night and I don't have this written on the pages. It ought if I tell you anyway. I don't have it written down. I'm already off the notes. Just getting started. Look out now. And I'm telling you, I heard God out there on that log sitting down too. But the thing is, I was invited to this church service, so I went. Along the way, I had about 15 or 20 of my pastors with me, and we was walking along and talking, and just like we was today, walking down that trail and just talking and praying in tongues and talking about the service, how it's going to be, in Jesus' name. We got there. Everything's great. We did service. It was probably a 2 or 3 hour hike into there, 2.5, 3 hours probably. Had a good service. Cool of the night, we're walking out. All of us are in lines. We're still talking about Jesus. We're talking about healings. It's Jesus. We're hiking home. Going to my four-wheel drive so I can go to the house. Just a normal day. Had no idea what had happened. Do y'all believe it's possible for God to blind the eyes of your enemies? If you don't, I'm fixing to tell you a story where he did, and you just have to call me a liar. But I got about 50,000 Indians over there that would draw out their machetes on you for calling me a liar. And I got another 50,000 to draw guns on you, so I wouldn't do that if I was you. Yeah. So anyway, we didn't have any idea what had happened. This is wonderful. I like it when the devil's here. And so we went back a while later and the church was just excited. It was just bubbling with joy. That's fine and everything. But why? Why are y'all so happy? Did Jesus show up? If he did, I don't know about it because I want to bubble with joy myself. What had happened was wonderful. There were these people that got together and bought these assassins. Do y'all understand what that means? Hit men, I don't know if that's the right word, but down there they call them buying assassins. And they knew we were coming to service that day we went. They knew what time we were coming. there were six of them sitting on the side of the trail waiting for us to come by because they were going to assassinate me and a few of our head leadership. They were 1 meter off the trail we went by. 1 meter, 3 feet. 1 meter. They never saw us go by. And when I walk around, I'm not a quiet fella. I like to praise Jesus. And we did church, and we left. And when we left, we went right by them. They never saw us. But we didn't see them. The next day, they came into town, spent the whole night out there waiting on us. They came back into that village. The people that had given them all the millions of pesos to kill all of us went after them and said, "We're going to have y'all killed because y'all didn't kill them." They said they never came by. They said, "You're full of it. They came in here and did service just like normal. We're having y'all killed. Y'all are dead men." So these assassins had to flee for their lives. And the rich people got afraid and decided they better let us alone. Isn't that something? God's into miracles. What are you into? 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 14. As obedient children, please understand what this is saying. I have children that live in my house. There's four of my own and several others that live with us. And they obey me. There's no question about it. If I say it's a law, it's a law. Even though I'm not there right now, the things I told my kids, they'll be doing them because I said to do it, whether I'm there or whether I'm not there. They're obedient children. The Bible says, as an obedient child, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust and your ignorance. I'll tell you what, I'm telling you what, the devil comes on us once we begin to learn about God and learn His ways and learn His authority and learn His principles. We begin to then apply it to us and how we want it and begin to fashion ourselves according to the way we want it. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to be obedient children and just obey Him and forget it. Let your gift bring you up. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of lifestyles or conversations. Because it is written, "Be ye holy because I'm holy." If ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, that's what I wanted to tell. Remember, I've been telling y'all since I've been here, I don't believe that work saves you, but I believe Christians work. I believe you're going to be judged in heaven, not because whether you're saved or not, but what you've done since you were saved. I believe you will receive a judgment for it. Says it right there. That's why it's so important for me to try to talk you into getting people up that are dead, getting the blinded eyes open, the lame walking, getting you excited about winning souls, not so you can become a great somebody, but because you can please God. So you can be an obedient child, fashion yourself after God and not after your former ignorances. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. That's how come I don't have to come over here and try to take all of y'all's money with me. Because gold and silver will rot. Thieves will break through and steal it. But if I can get that Holy Ghost in here, the devil can't have that. But with the precious blood of Christ Jesus, that's what I've been redeemed with. The Bible says in John chapter 1, about verse, what was it we read the other night, verse 11, 12, somewhere along there. It's not by the will of man, and it's not by the blood of man. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been redeemed. I have been changed. My conversation has been totally rerouted by the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. But the good thing about it is it doesn't have spot nor blemish. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus, the resurrection power of God Almighty to raise Jesus from the dead, it's alive. It's a living power from God to us. And we can walk in it. But not after corruptible things, but after incorruptible things, the kingdom of God. And gave Him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Your material things are going to burn. There's a generation of rebellious kids over in our country because the last generation of Christians rose up believing God wasn't going to be, that they would never, the kids would never, they would never grow up. Jesus was coming back. But the thing is, they miss God. Now all these kids grew up and they don't know God. Mistake. Did y'all hear the news, what happened this morning in chapel at school? I'm going to tell you, 51 of y'all's children got born again. I think that was worth the trip over here, don't you? 51 kids, I talked them into walking down here with me and getting born again. It was great. It was happy. The devil was there. I was happy. The thing is, if even though he's there, if you can work on him, and you can keep messing with him, after a while you get him backed up in that corner, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you put it right through him. You can beat him. You just keep messing with him. You can take him out. You didn't know I was that radical, did you? Surprise, surprise. 22, seeing you have purified your souls. Okay, that's what we want to do here tonight. I don't want to leave here without you really being touched by God and having your soul just deluged with the Holy Ghost. Just the spirit of obedience flooding through you and just an outpouring of God's ability, of unity, of a fresh touch, of God's conversation and God's cleansing to flow through this place. I really believe we're going to see that tonight. I really do. And I think it'll be nice when it happens. I think it'll be refreshing. A refreshing spot of tea, man. Yeah. And see what happens to me when the devil shows up? I get excited. I can't hardly talk to y'all. I'm serious. I want a piece of him. I'm going to get it. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. I'm really glad this happened so y'all can see, pastors, that I wasn't lying. I can't hardly stop from laughing. It ain't nothing to laugh about, is it? Except that God's going to take out a demon. Now that's funny. That is funny. That right there is funny. Because that devil has had such a heyday, but he thought he had everything under control. And then Jesus stepped in and gave him one chop and it was all over. And that's funny, isn't it? Come on, Jesus, sweep this place. Hallelujah. Seeing ye have purified your souls, you know what? religious devils hate the way I'm talking. Because I'm after that too. I am a very serious man. Y'all have seen that. I walk in a right conversation. You've seen all these things. But the thing is, you must see that you can walk free in the Holy Ghost. Just don't use it for a cloak of maliciousness. Galatians chapter 5 says that. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart earnestly. These are not something God's asking you to do if you want to vote on it and get, you know, let's bring it before a board. This is something God says you're going to do it or He's going to slap your chops. I'm serious. How can I think up all them things to say? Isn't that something? Because it's Jesus helping you, you understand? See verse 23. You might as well go and get happy like me because I'm going to keep messing with you till you do. It's all right. Just relax and enjoy Jesus. It's already been bought and paid for. You can enjoy the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. That's what I've been trying to tell y'all since I've been here. I'm telling you, Jesus is alive. This word is real. His blood is all powerful. I believe, I'm going to make this statement publicly, I believe in the absolute authority of the blood of Jesus' covenant with God. I believe it's an absolute authority. I don't believe you have a devil big enough to hide out from the blood of Jesus when it hits your soul. I think the blood of Jesus is big enough to thump any demon out of you that there is. And just rip it eyeballs and teeth out and throw it in a garbage can. I do. I believe that. Because see, look here in verse 24. See, the grass withers and the flower fades. It says that right in the Bible. She's got some of the most beautiful flowers around her house. As a matter of fact, I noticed to be commented on them today. But them poor little flowers are going to fade one of these days. She's going to get up in the morning and things are going to be all... She's going to have to dig them up and put some more down there. She really is. But they're real pretty right now. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is as a flower of grass. You need to realize that you're not here, but even though it seems like 40 or 50 years that we have strength and we get maturity finally and do something, we think that's a long time. But if you look at it in the speck of eternity, it's absolutely and not even hardly a drop in the bucket as to what we're going to be doing with God. So we need to realize we need to use that for God's glory and not for our own. Because the Bible says, whatever He can trust you with here, He's going to trust you with it up yonder. So we need to realize it's time to become mature Christians walking in holy conversation with God than somebody running around here using the Word of God for your own personal lifestyle. This thing's bigger than we are, y'all. And we got to submit to it. And we got to let that Holy Ghost work through us. We've got to let the powers of God permeate through us and help folks that's around us. Do you hear me? I'm serious. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the gospel, the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Now, take and jump with me over here. I'm going to show you where it was prophesied in the Old Testament, the same thing. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. I bet y'all tired of Isaiah by now. Isaiah 40. See, the thing about all this is the blood of Jesus, the authority of the spoken word and written word of God, walking holy and circumspectly before God Almighty, being what God wants you to be, being that flower in your time and letting yourself be bright and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. Oh, that's right. But not for your good. For the good of the kingdom of God. Because that covenant was made, I'm telling you, it was made for a purpose. Power to God's people. It says right here, wait just a minute, I got to tell you something first. So I've got this, my Indians are nuts. They are crazy. They are. There was a radio announcement given out by the government of Mexico. It said this. Young girl, Indian. Now what? Gave her name. We have her up here in an institute. She's crazy. We can't do anything with her. Because they don't have asylums in Mexico for keeping people that are filled with demons. And they were looking for the parents to come get that girl. She was 15 years old. They didn't know exactly how old she was. All they could get out of her was her name. One of my Indian pastors heard it on the radio. I mean, listen now. This is Mr. Hillbilly. No shoes. This is amazing. He and his church fasted and prayed for several days. The church bought him a bus ticket. Now look, his village has about 500 or 1,000 folks that live in it. He got a bus ticket to Mexico City. 30 million people. He didn't even know where the place was. When he got there off the bus, he asked the taxi driver, "Take me to this place." Now this is a barefooted Indian. Got big patches hand-sewed on his breeches. They wear little bags over their shoulders like purses. And he walked up in there. And this place is a polished marble floored place. All them great fancy doctors in there with their wingtip shoes on and their fancy dos, their long white coats and all the little pins in a row in their pockets. And that little old Indian walks up in there. And they wouldn't even talk to him. This is good. Finally, one of those sophisticated idiot boxes walks by and he grabbed him on the shoulder and whirled him around and said, "Hey, Doc, how you doing? I come up here to get Gloria." This is what the doctor did. Walked off. So these Indians are fairly persistent. Another one comes by and grabs him on the shoulder. "Hey, Doc. Come here to get Gloria." Doctor said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a man sent from God to cast out devils. Where's Gloria?" Got the sword out, devil. You finna get it. So that doctor looked at him and said, "All right." So he went and got some of his colleagues and some of the nurses, and they was having a big hee-haw with this dumb hillbilly. They unlocked that padded cell. And right over yonder in the corner was a naked 15-year-old girl, demon-possessed. "You young people, listen to me." She was cool. She rebelled on her parents. She went off to the big city. She didn't take into consideration a few things. Drug addiction. Perverts. These pimps got her. Forced her to have sex with several different kinds of animals. Shot her up with all kinds of drugs. Demons possessed her body. This may be a little graphic for y'all, but I think you need it. The demon would come on her and have sex with her in front of the doctors. But you know who she was? She was somebody's baby. Do you hear me? That gives me a little bit of passion to take devils out. That makes me a little hostile toward the principalities and the powers of the air. It gives me a little bit of business to follow after God, to consecrate my heart to following Jesus and let the trivial things of this world fall off of me. Somebody's baby girl had been ripped off. That makes me mad. I don't like that. Because I have that feeling about me, I've trained my Indians to be that way. That's why he was up there. He walked in that thing. These high-tech docs are all laughing at him and everything. They lock the door, and they're all watching through the windows. That demon stood up. Hair was all matted up, totally naked, no shame at all. Demon possessed. She's coming after him because the reason they caught her with nets, and the reason they had to catch her was because she was eating humans. In the streets, jumping on people, having breakfast. Y'all getting quiet, ain't you? Don't tell me y'all just the jump shout kind. You can't real put up with real stuff. That demon's coming across that room at him. The man of God pulled up his finger like this and said, "The Lord Jesus rebuke you, foul demon of hell." Up against the wall, knocked out. Takes his little bag, takes it off, squats down, takes out a little dress, a little skirt and a little blouse. He goes over there and puts it on the young lady, puts a little blouse on her, wakes her up, picks her up by the hand, walks over to the door and knocks on the door. Doctor opened the door. He said, "Y'all have a nice day." Yeah! Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 7, "The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God standeth sure forever." The power of the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, is all-powerful. There's no seconds. It's number one. Hebrews chapter 13, please. Boy, I'll tell you what I like to do. I like to read the Bible and then do it. I like to read the Bible and talk about it. I like that. That really brings about faith. That generates energy. It generates energy. Generates energy. Demon powers do not have authority against the spoken word of God. Demon powers do not have authority against the blood of Jesus. demon powers do not have authority against a blood-bought, God-sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, born-again believer. There is no authority that can withstand us in the name of Jesus. So you got to learn to relax and let God flow through you. Let Him be God. He knows you're a human. Let Him be God. Let Him show Himself big on your behalf. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Is that all right if we start there? Really famous verse. Jesus Christ is the same. When? Do you know He's the same when He came out of that tomb? And I got to tell y'all, I must inform you that Jesus didn't come out of that tomb whipped, cowed down, halfway stumbling out of there, crippling, God, I got the keys, but God, it was a job, man. My Bible says it like this, that the stone was moved by the angelic powers of God. My Bible says that Jesus walked out of there, listen to this, triumphant and victorious. That's what my Bible says. So that's how come it's all right for me when the devil shows up to be happy. Because I know we will be triumphant and victorious through the name and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to read you what my Bible says. Evidently somebody else's reads differently than this, but if y'all's does, please tell me. Verse 9, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. I rebuke divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Wow. See, that's what's wrong with me. I'm established with grace. I'm stable in what I do. That's why I'm scary to you. That's why I'm intimidating to you. I'm not any better than anybody. I'm just established in grace. And for some reason, there's not a whole lot of people that want to do that. We've got to be established in grace. Let it flow through you. Let it flow right through you. Whew. There's plenty of opportunities for faith. Let God worry about them. You just shout. When my wife was walking, well, she wasn't walking, she's crawling around on the floor like an animal because for somehow or another, the devil came. I don't know what happened, to tell you the truth. But we woke up one morning and my wife was paralyzed from her top of her rear and her solar plexus. She was paralyzed all the way down. She was crawling around like, have you ever seen them dogs get hit by a car? And they get their back broke. And they drag their back legs. That's what she looked like. Little broke up dog. And I have such a high regard for my wife and love for her. I just wept when I saw that. I just could not believe that. But it's a good thing that I'm established in grace and that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that the blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. That's a good thing for that. Because one day turned into 2 days. Two turned into three. Three turned into 1 week. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven more went by and it was 2 weeks. And my wife was still that way. I'm telling you, it got worse and worse and the pain began to get excruciating to where her, those little knobs on her back was beginning to press into each other and her back was starting to bow. And the pain was beyond bearable. It was horrendous. I stayed up. I'd come in from service, stay up all night long, rubbing that lady's back, praying for her, asking for God to heal her. Help us, God. Help us, God. To no avail. Days and days and days, hours and hours and hours went by and we still had the same problem. Let me read you verse 10 about this right here. The Bible says, we have. Can y'all say that with me? We have. Now, that includes you. We have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are buried without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You got to go to Jesus, troops. You got to understand that we have an altar. We have a place we can go through, and it's through the blood of Jesus. He has bought it for us. He paid the entire supreme price. And it might take you 1, 2, 3 weeks, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 10 weeks to get something, but you hang on to them altar horns, because that blood of Jesus is valid. There's not a devil can invalidate the blood of Jesus. There is not one. One of the greatest feelings you ever feel is you hold it. I'm holding my wife. I love my wife. I was holding her, praying in tongues. I'd fall asleep, pain would grab her. She'd hit me, bow. I'd wake up and start praying in tongues again. Day after day this went on. Day after day after night after day after night after day. Have y'all ever watched your clocks before? Most amazing thing, if you got a battery in mind, it'll keep ticking. And 5 o'clock does come every now and then. 5 o'clock in the morning, I was so tired and frustrated, I said, Miss Hogan, please, would you please be healed? And she went like this and fell asleep. And when she woke up, she was totally healed. Isn't that something? Boy, I'll tell you right now, that's really something. Ephesians chapter 1. Can you believe all these stories, Peter? I know you believe them, but can you believe how many there are? You know what I did today? I got into my suitcase and dug out this other folder I've got. I've got pages. And I told these guys, God, I don't have enough time here to tell y'all all these things. It's too bad. Ephesians chapter 1. So many. God is so good. God is so good. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, if it's all right with y'all, go there and look around. Do you understand that Jesus' blood gives me a place where I can be sanctified, gives me an altar where I can go and I can fall on that thing and I can receive the sanctification of God? Do y'all understand that? Man, oh man, thank God for that. Man, goodness. You understand that the blood of Jesus gives me the right to be forgiven and to forgive? Do you understand that when my children have a little difference of opinion, it don't matter who's right and who's wrong, they got to kiss and make up? Do you understand that, church? We're going to start acting like obedient children. And we're going to let the Holy Ghost move through us. And we're going to let the blood of Jesus redeem us from all the curses of the law. We're going to be freed by the power of the gospel, because we're going to fall on that sanctification altar and we're going to let that blood just run through us and just permeate us and purify our souls. We're going to do it tonight. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to experience a new wave of God's power after tonight. That's what we're going to do. Not because I decided to, because y'all messed around and messed with me enough till I figured out what's going on. that I happen to bring some guys over here with me that can listen to the Holy Ghost. And God, when God brings in ministry teams, it's not to hurt people. It's for the good. It's for the cleansing. It's for the correction. It's for the rebuke. It's so that His church can be without spot and blemish, so that His glory can abide in it. And Ichabod won't be put on the door out there. Do you understand that? Isn't that something? Isn't it, Brother John? Well, good services we had in your church, wasn't it? Golly, well, that's fun, wasn't it? Maybe you'll let me come back sometime. Ephesians chapter 1. Just ask him publicly like that. You think he's going to tell me no in front of all y'all? No, I'm just picking on you. I'm just picking on you, really. If you tell me no, that's fine. Ephesians chapter 1. I tell you, I'm feeling pretty spunky here. Is that the right word? That's not a bad word over here, is it? It is? Is it? It's not? Is it? Really? Yes! I made a mistake! Yeah! That's good! Mistakes are good. They're healthy. Now I forgive y'all for being wrong. I think we'll move on. Let's rephrase that. I'm feeling chipper. Is that all right? You don't know what that means? That means the devil's in trouble. Am I embarrassed? No. Don't you believe it? Oh, God. Well, when I saw some of you go this way and some of you go that way, I knew I was in trouble. Because if y'all are confused, I know I am. So you can't use that word, huh? Is there any more I need to know about? Can I tell y'all one that I did in Mexico? You won't be offended with me? Okay, I'll tell you then. I was up there preaching, see? I finally got a handle on the Spanish language, so now I'm learning the Indian language. But there's one thing you can't do when you're learning languages. You can't talk Indian in an all-Spanish congregation. Because some of the words mean different things. So this dog walked in. And I was preaching and he was growling and carrying on and messing with me. So I started chasing him. Fuera, chichi, fuera. Which in Indian, that means dog. But in Spanish, it's a woman's breast. So, I was in trouble again. Happens to me regular. All these languages and, you know, so we're going to apply some blood, all right? Y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me, please. That was a very honest mistake. But I really hadn't heard what it is yet, but I still ask you to forgive me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Now then, the forgiveness of sins. Now since it's been applied to your life, you apply it to me and forgive me what I just said. According to the riches of His grace, we have the ability, according to Jesus' riches of His grace, to receive from the power of the blood of God, of Jesus, that He shed on the cross. Do you understand now? Y'all understand where this is going? It's real simple. My messages always are. Anybody can grab them. But I thought it was appropriate tonight because of talking about the blood of Jesus. And I was really had the sword out, really wanting to get after some devils here. See, there's this town called Tempoal de Veracruz. Tempoal Veracruz. Tempoal. 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 It's a city. In that city, there was a man. He was chained on his legs and his hands to a post. It was actually a tree. And he'd been chained there so long that the cuts on certain full moon months of the year, those demons were so active in that man, he could break chains. And he would go wild out in the streets. And the whole town would have to go out and capture him again. Demon possession. That's a little bit different than having a snotty nose, wouldn't you say? Tell you, I'm gunning for you here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Did you know that you do make mistakes? You do know that, right? That like I just made a while ago, we're humans. And we're mistake prone most of the time. But I'll tell you, we have the blood of Jesus applied to us. The redemption of the Holy Ghost. It's to us. It's for us. And it doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you this. When you go to God and you need help, it does not make any difference at all what the problem is. He's going to forgive you. Now these guys are starting to laugh down here. Did I make another mistake? What happened? I wish. Yep. Maybe this joy that's on me finally got to the front row. It might be that back here in a minute. Well, here we go. I'm going to let it go. I won't go out and sweep this place if it is because I made a mistake. Come on, Holy Ghost, get with the program. Now, wait a minute. See, in the United States, when you make that phrase, that means go ahead and do what he wants to do. I'm not making him get back where I'm at. Oh, boy. I was doing so good so many days, and look what happened now. We prayed for that guy that had those chains. I walked around the corner of the house. The guy's chained in the backyard on about a 10-foot chain. And when I walked around the backyard, I'll tell you, I never get over seeing demon-possessed people. I tell you, every time it's scary. This guy's hair was way down his back. It was matted. He stunk real bad. And I go walking toward him. And he looked up and saw me. Have y'all ever seen a demon possessed person? You can't see the black of the color part of that. You can only see that white, and it kind of jiggles at you. Giddy, 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 giddy. And it looks wicked, buddy. I'll tell you right now, it's wicked looking. And that devil got up off his haunches and starts coming after me. So I decided to pick up my pace, and I thought it'd be nice whenever we hit, there might be some sparks. And I finally got close to him, about here to that thing right there, and he starts backing up. So I got a little faster. He backs up faster. He went completely the other direction on that tree to the end of the chain, and he's growling, rah, 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 trying to get away. Too late, devil. It's too late, devil. There ain't nowhere else to hide. You understand that? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, will quicken in me, and you will die, devil. You got to go. The life of God will drive the demon out in the name of Jesus. It's the most amazing thing. This guy's cowed down on the ground over there now, whimpering. I mean, it's like a whooped cur dog. So you walk over to him and you just put your arm around him on the ground over there, all the stink and everything else, and you just begin to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. I don't want this guy to take his chains and wrap around my neck. I want the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden that guy turns around and looks at me in the colors in his eyes. I said, are you back home all right? He said, sí, hermano. I said, bienvenido. Welcome home. So get these chains off this guy. Yeah. Hallelujah. They wouldn't come. They throwed me the key. I unlocked those chains off that guy. I took him down the river and I helped bathe him. We cut some of that messy hair off of him. Put him some blue jeans on and a shirt. Gave him a Bible. I said, that's your way home. That's your ticket out, buddy, to stay out. Now we have a church in his house. He's the pastor. Yeah! Yeah! Come on! Woo! Yeah! That's pretty good. I can live with that. He's a good man, too. Y'all ready for this statement? He really understands spiritual things. I'm having fun here tonight. This is really... I'm so glad the devil's here. Have I irritated y'all enough with that statement yet? The religious devil's having trouble with that, and I'm glad. I'm really glad. All right, Romans chapter 5. I'm having pretty much fun here. Can you see what I don't understand how people can read this Bible if it's really the truth and read it and what it says, you just act like you didn't read it. You didn't read it. I mean, this thing is great. I mean, this thing is really great. This Bible, this Word of God right here is amazing. And if you can keep your amazement for the Word of God and its power, He'll begin to move in you and things begin to happen around you that are absolutely fascinating. If you can be an obedient child and not a spoiled brat walking in ignorance, you can really get something done for God. I'm serious. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God commanded His love toward us. That's a big statement. God loves us. Boy, if you guys could get that statement that God loves you, there wouldn't one devil stay in this place. God loves us. y'all all move down to the front. This is really catching on up here. But God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. I mean, God. Y'all really need to come look at this. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. I got some news for all the critical religious demons that are here. I got some news for you. You and your witchcraft, charismatic witchcraft, ain't got nothing on me, boy. I'm freed from any wrath. The love of God has been commanded to me. Do you understand that? That means I can walk in freedom. That means I can see the glory of God. That means I can come here and have God knock this young man out of the chair and grind his heel on top of him. I'm serious. That means we can have cancers healed. That means we can have deaf ears opened. That means we can have people walking out of wheelchairs. That means we can this morning have 51 kids walk down crying and weeping to God and get born again. That's what that means. That's what that means. That means I can go to church with one of my head pastors and I can get there and there's a whole bunch of our churches are there. I didn't know they were going to be there. There was a whole sea of people. So I just preach the gospel to them like he's supposed to. And I went devil hunting like I always do. Pulled the sword of the Spirit out on them. Started chopping on them. And the Holy Ghost. See, at the end, I was standing up there against the wall. And Indians, the way they are, see, y'all are dignified, is what we call it. Indians have dignity, but they're not dignified. That's a devil they missed. And they'll just attack you. And that blows you up against the wall. And they're all around you. And there's hundreds of them. And you can't move. You can just do this. And I love, these little old grandmas were fascinating to me. Did y'all see that lady Sunday night in that wheelchair? I tell you, if y'all had stayed in the way, she'd run over everybody. These little old grandmas are something else to me. I'm up here praying for these people. The reason I can do this and have freedom from up here is because I'm that much taller than they are. Their heads are all down here. All of a sudden I saw heads moving back and forth. Little. And I noticed there was a little grandma. Walking her way up. In a few minutes she done wormed and squeeded and fought and. And she's grabbing on the front of my shirt. Yes, ma'am, what do you need? Nani neki kwadli no yolo. I need a new heart. Mine's failing. I said, Ashonque soli, niki istu kastoli kan ikulto teko toti otse. No problem, the power of God's here. You'll get your new heart. So laid hands on the lady and she turned around. She's gone. She melted into that sea of brown. In a few minutes, I don't know how long it was, the crowd wasn't thinning out very much, I'll tell you that. I couldn't see the end of it yet. I heard a hooting and a hollering back there. So here I go. I fought my way through over there, got back there, and there was that little grandma standing there, hooting and hollering, woo, woo, woo. I thought, she got her new heart. Hallelujah. I said, Grandma, how you doing? I'm doing good, Brother David. I said, it sure sounds like it. It sure looks like it. I said, what'd you do, get your new heart? She said, probably so, but that ain't what I got new. I said, tell me about it. She said, Brother David, you didn't know this, but I've been blind for 18 years in both eyes, and both my eyes popped open just now. They carried her to the doctor with her new eyeballs. God had given her a new heart at the same time. Isn't that nice? I like the blood of Jesus. I like to be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I like to be forgiven so I can forgive. I like to walk in the conversation of the Holy Ghost. I like to walk in God's way. I like to be a son, an obedient son. I like to have my soul purified by the blood of Jesus Christ the righteous. Katalama, sete, kate, lalaba. Romans 5, 8. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Would y'all just tell Jesus thank you for that right now? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you that while we didn't deserve nothing and we don't deserve nothing now, but because of Your great grace and Your mercy and Your wonder, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, while we were sinners, You died for us. We appreciate it. We thank You for dropping those precious blood droplets out all over the ground. We appreciate the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 We appreciate You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Much more than now, being justified by His blood. Thank You, God, that I don't have to suffer the wrath. God, I can enjoy You, even though right now the devil comes, and it's fun when he does. But God, it doesn't make any difference when he comes. We got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the blood of Jesus. We got the angels of God to send forth to bring in, do things we need. We've got the spoken word of God. We've got each other to rely on. We got trust. We got faith. We got confidence. We got the persistence of the Holy Ghost in our being. We've got Jesus. We've got Jesus. We've got His blood. And we thank Him for saving our souls. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. This doesn't have about the blood in it, but I think it's necessary to talk about this just for a second. 1 Corinthians 16, please. I went to service one night, and there was this lady there that had... I've been going for an hour and 10 minutes. Oh, my. That watch will tick long as there's a battery in there. And I'll tell you what, that Holy Ghost was there. But you know what happened? They come over there, and they took me. I was in... It was a pastor's seminar that we had set up. And I was had some friends over, some pastors was down there, and we was teaching a seminar. And so we went, and there's this lady had been trying to have a baby for a long time. Now, you know what I'm not? I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a midwife. Buddy, I don't like that. Delivering babies is not my gift. I'll tell you right now, I have... Whenever I see a woman in that delivery pain, oh, I get weak all over. You ladies are stronger than I am. Man, I respect y'all. I have so much respect I mean, I take care of ladies, buddy, that work with me. I'll tell you right now, they're blessings from God. Man, I went in that hut and I saw that lady. I don't know how y'all deliver them here. They don't do it that way in the United States either. But son, they had that lady, they had a lasso tied around her arm. And her, they had her pulled up into the rafters. I said, my God, woman. How long has that woman been hanging there? Oh, all night. I said, don't you think you should let her down? You're going to cut her arms off. They said, you don't worry about that. You come pray for her. I said, all right. It's y'all's traditions, not mine. And I went around there and, oh, geez, that woman, my love, the pain, the, oh, God. Man. So we prayed for her. I hated to see her in that kind of pain. We prayed for her in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Deliver this baby. Please, my God, lady, I want out of here. In the name of Jesus. I don't like that stuff. Jesus' name. I felt so sorry for her. And then they began to tell me, we got to have God touch her because a baby that long in the birth canal, it'll do brain damage. The poisons will eat that baby alive in there. Oh, my God. Help me, God. Please, God. Well, I was standing there, nothing happened. So I turned to the brothers, I said, just like normal, leave her hanging. God's going to touch her. Let's go back to preach the gospel. Come on, fellas. Most of y'all say, now, that's pretty cruel. That ain't cruel. I'm not going to say what I said. Just don't think I was going to say. So anyway, after a while, went back over there because they was happy. They fed us a meal over there at that same house where the woman was hanging in the rafters. The woman ain't there no more. She's laying over yonder on the floor in a little blanket, and right beside her is a little baby. And I was so happy. Thank God, thank God, thank God. But what I didn't know at the time was because of the exposure of the baby in that condition, and the lady's stressed, she was so stressed out under that many hours of delivery, the baby got the cholera. And by the baby getting the cholera, it gave the woman the cholera. But we didn't know that just now. I was happy and thankful and everybody was cuddly and I'm out of here. Goodbye. So they called me back. They come and got me at my house, literally. And I went over there and I went into that same house. And that lady's dying on the floor. And this little bitty baby, that thing wasn't, I mean, it was this big, little bitty thing. And it was laying there bleeding. Cholera's a devil. And that little baby was just bleeding. That woman was bleeding. And I said, fellas, what in the world? It's cholera, David. And I broke an Indian law. I fell down there beside that lady on top of her and that baby. She wasn't a woman in my family, so I was not allowed to touch her. You understand the law? But I broke the law. Because I had special interest in this little baby because I was there when it was born. And I wanted this thing to live. It was just... But it wasn't going to live. Neither was the mama. So I fell down over him and I asked God for mercy and grace in the name of Jesus. And I left. Y'all, I'm not kidding. I promise you this happened. I went and had a service with the brothers. And that lady and that baby walked into service right at the end. Healed. Man, oh man, oh man. What a God. So the reason I'm here is because of verse 13. I've got to tell you something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, watch ye. Stand fast. In the faith, quit ye like men. It's time, church, for us to act like, to be grown up in the Holy Ghost. It's time for us to start maturing a little bit and stop acting like a bunch of flakes and grasshoppers and has-beens. It's time to be men and be obedient children to God. It's time to let our souls be cleansed. I'm telling you, it's time to let that blood do its job through us. It's time, church. It's time. Be strong, church. And to close, let's go to Hebrews 9, and I'll read it and we'll stop. In Jesus' name, it'll happen. Hebrews 9, verse 11. I got to tell you about, there's a couple down here I ain't telling you, but there's one I've got to tell you. It's very significant in our work. Because even though I'm the leader of the work, and there's certain attributes and things I've learned from God, if I don't have the ability to then translate it into other people, I'm not doing the job God called me to do. Do you understand? I've got to have an ability about me to where when I get around Brother Steve Hill, and even though he's such a man of God and everything, and I respect him so much, there's got to be an impartation from me to him of the things I've got. And he has to have the ability to do the same to me. Do y'all understand this? That's the way the kingdom of God operates. That's how it grows, and that's how it's bonded together. That's how the unity and the power of God is multiplied. All right? That's a very important part of a Christian's life that don't get talked about very much. There was this young pastor, his wife was pregnant. She was about 8 months pregnant. Everything was fine till they woke up one morning and she was bleeding. She was going to miscarry that baby at 8 months. And down there where we live, there's not facilities. A baby of 8 months more than likely will come out stillborn. More than likely she'll lose this baby. There's just not the facilities to rush her to slow down the bleeding and to start the labor pains. You know how it happens at the hospital when that starts? Y'all, that happens here, don't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does. And so they slow down the bleeding and start the contractions to try to get the woman to have the baby, right? Yes, that's what happens. So, but there, it don't happen there. And it was the morning of one of our, I wasn't going to be there, but it was the president of our group, of the national leadership, he was going to hold a pastor seminar in that section where this pastor was. And I if those pastors don't come to the seminars, that we put another pastor in their place. We work together, not separate. And so we submit to each other. We're not rogues. Rogues are devils. And they need to be dealt with as devils. Ha! So, this pastor's wife sitting here bleeding to death. He's going to lose his baby. So he had to make the decision whether it was right for him to go to this little pastor seminar or not. Or stay home with his wife. And that's a very valuable lesson to learn in the Holy Ghost. So he decided. And I asked him all about it later, and the reason he decided to do it was because of the commitment he had seen in my life down through the years. He told his wife, "I love you, but I've got to go to that meet." So he took off walking 3 hours one way. He was perplexed, so he had left a little bit late. He got into the meet, and it was a little he had got there late. And he was perplexed, but he didn't say a word to anybody. Sat there through the whole meeting. And another thing about you young pastors is, you try to act spiritual. You don't need to act spiritual. Spirituality is
when you need help is asking for it. Any young Christian or any Christian, you're not being spiritual by not asking for help. You're being ignorant. You're showing immaturity. And so he's sitting there, but his idea was, it was a good idea. He didn't want to cause any kind of ruckus and to do over him and none of that stuff. And so he was sitting there, and in a few minutes, here come a runner. Shh, running in. Run right up to him. Handed him a note. Turn around and run off. Come quick. Your wife's nearly dead and the baby's dead. He stood up. The head guy looked at him and said, man, what's the matter? He started weeping. He said, I got to go. I apologize about that. But I left my wife sick this morning, and now she's done passed out in the middle of the floor. There's blood all over the place, and my baby's laying in the middle of the blood dead. And that pastor looked him right in the face. He said, I rebuke you. Every one of those pastors walked with him those 3 hours. This is going to bless you. You are fixing to be sitting blessed. I'm telling you, this is going to be a phenomenal thing for your little old pea-picking brain to get a hold of. When they got there, the lady, of course, you're not allowed, that was another man's wife, and the situation was grave, so the people in the town will not touch her. Because that man, if they touch her and something happens to her, they receive the responsibility of it, he'll kill them. That's the normal way for non-Christians. He walks in, and I mean to tell you, she's laying in the middle of the floor, got a dead baby down here by her feet, and there's blood all over the place. She had thrown that baby. Those pastors walked in that house, ringed that lady, lifted their hands up to God and said, God, have mercy by the blood of Jesus. That little baby coughed and came to life. That woman got up immediately. The midwife was there. She cut the umbilical cord, cleaned everything up. The lady went in the back room, changed into somebody else's dress because hers was saturated in blood. Came right out and fixed those men something to eat and fed them. And the baby is perfectly healthy. Man, oh man. Wow. What a God. Don't that just make you religious devils mad because God does that for me? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. God, or Christ, being came at high priest of good things to come. Y'all, please understand something. When you get Jesus in you, it's because He wants to bring good things to come. I've been telling you ever since I've been here. I'm telling you at night I lay there, I can't hardly talk from talking to y'all so much and hollering and screaming and jumping with y'all. Ever since I've been here, I've been telling you of the good things that Jesus is doing. Good things. Good things. Jesus has come here to do good things. That's the reason He's our high priest. So we can have a high priest that can be touched, that we can have an altar that's got His blood and His perfect covenant on it. And it says right here, good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but listen to this. Jesus offered His own blood, y'all. By His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And I got some news for you. What I got's eternal. This is not some flake fake. This is an eternal redemption. This is something that you can't tamper with. It don't make any difference how much you agree or disagree with me. You can't fool with what I got, darling. You never gave it to me. The precious blood of Jesus bought it for me. And Jesus walked up there with that perfect blood covenant. And he walked in there and he laid it down on the altar of God. And God said, so be it. And all of heaven resounded. And all the powers of God for the blood covenant of Jesus had waited on for years immediately went into effect. For me. For you. The covenant was accepted. And it's eternally powerful. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkled the unclean, sanctified it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, katalebosata, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without a spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's my plea to you tonight. You can put your Bibles in your little fancy cases. I really would like for Jesus to touch us tonight, to just cleanse our soul from an eternal fires. Cleanse our soul from the petty things, mundane lifestyles that try to get us and drag us down and make us think that devils are over us, that make us think that the powers of the devil is greater than the powers of God. That's a lie. The blood of Jesus is pure and holy. And there's no possible way it can win. The devil can't win. It's a lie. Only the blood of Jesus can win. Would y'all please stand up and let's thank God for the Holy Ghost? Would somebody come up here on this piano, please? In Jesus' name, come on. Father, we thank you so much for a pure, spotless problem, Jesus. Thank you for a pure, holy God, Jesus. Thank you for a wonderful Savior, Jesus. God, we want ourselves purified tonight. We want our souls. God, we want to be obedient children, God, in the name of Jesus. We reckon ourselves up to the powers of God. We ask God for the ability of the Holy Ghost, the ability of Jesus, the righteous one. Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, precious Father God, for the Holy Ghost. God, I ask you for a cleansing of the Holy Ghost in this place. I ask you for a purifying by the blood of Jesus in this place. God, I ask you that our hearts and our minds and our bodies be different from tonight forth. As we're going to come to you and we're going to ask you for forgiveness. We're going to ask each other for forgiveness. We're going to ask God for the glory of the cross of Calvary to be manifested in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to be men. We're going to watch. We're going to stand fast. We're going to do good. We're going to be strong. We're going to be men of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you tonight, first thing I like to do every day, to see if there's anybody here that wants to escape the jaws of hell. If there's anybody here that does not consider yourself born again, I'd really appreciate it if you'd come down here and let us lead you to the cross of Calvary. Let us lead you to the feet of the great Master Jesus. Let us lead you to the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you look around you, please, church? And see if there's somebody that needs Jesus around you in his room, please.